to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast, an audio resource that encourages biblical thinking for biblical living as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. And now, here's your host, Pastor Thomas Overmiller.
Welcome to episode 112 of the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast, and today we are learning from the Psalms about the matter of candid prayer. If you've got your Bible in front of you, you can look at Psalm chapter 13 and take a look at what you find there. I'm not going to read the chapter for you. I'll let you take a look at that yourself, but I want to talk to you from this psalm about the matter of prayer. Sometimes a believer refrains from praying, whether in private or in public, because he or she feels that they don't know the proper words or pattern to follow. Other times a believer prays but never truly expresses what he wanted to say, choosing more formal standard words and phrases instead. Do you identify with either of these scenarios? If so, you're not alone. So to learn how to pray, I recommend that you read through the book of Psalms, which contains 150 divinely inspired examples of prayer and worship. I say divinely inspired. These are psalms which are prayers and expressions of praise that God has given to us. For instance, let's take a look at Psalm 13. This is a prayer that David prayed, and it's a prayer that comes from the personal prayer life of David, but was also used in the public worship of God. And so this is one prayer in the book of Psalms that can help you to learn how to pray, not just privately, but also publicly at church or in small groups or with a friend or something of that nature. First, we see this matter of beginning with a question. This is very interesting to me that this psalm begins with a question. In fact, it begins with a series of questions in the first two verses. So that raises the question, no pun intended, is it okay to open a prayer with a question? Apparently so. If a genuine question is at the front of your thoughts when you approach God, then ask Him about it. Don't overlook your questions and go on praying as if everything is okay. Ask Him about whatever is bothering you. For David, it was a difficult trial that wouldn't go away. So he opened his prayer this way, with a series of five genuine questions, four of which began with, how long? What trials are you experiencing? What pressing questions do you have about life? Bring those questions to God in prayer. Don't wait to find answers before you talk to Him, even if you sense you may already know the right answer. You're already asking the question to yourself, so go ahead and ask God, and that is an important element of candid prayer. As you learn to pray this way, you will also learn that prayer does not automatically bring an end to your trials, but it does help you to wrestle through them in faith. Wrestling through your trials in honest, candid prayer to God is the best way to navigate difficulties. If you fail to do this, then you'll be wrestling with yourself or someone else, and that's no good. Not only do we see this matter in this psalm of beginning with a question in prayer at times, we also see this matter of acknowledging the Lord. You see, David calls God Lord in the opening of his prayer, but does this mean that every time you pray, you must also do the same? A cursory glance reveals that the prayers and praises of the other psalms follow a mixed approach. Some name the Lord in opening verses, while others do not. This indicates that naming the Lord when you open in prayer is a good thing to do, though not necessarily prescribed or required in every case. What's more important than naming the Lord is knowing that it is the Lord to whom you are speaking, whether you mention this name or not. The name Lord here conveys a very strong message that God is a being who has always been there and always will be there. Furthermore, it conveys that He will always be there to do what He has promised to do for His people. He revealed Himself to Moses and the Israelites in this way for the first time in Exodus 3:15. You should notice that the psalm also begins with this name, but does not necessarily in all the Psalms use it the same way. Some Psalms you see beginning with, O Lord, or others say, in the Lord, or some just say, Lord, somehow or another, and others say, help, Lord, and so on. So to mention the Lord even at the beginning of your prayer, it doesn't need to be done when you do it the same way all the time. Just talk to the Lord as a person who is speaking to him, knowing who he is, who is praying and praising in a very personal, genuine way. You see, the different ways of saying this are all natural ways of speaking to God that not only understand who he is, but genuinely express the way that you are feeling and relating to the Lord as you're praying to him, whether in confidence or frustration, faith or confusion, sorrow or something else. This is an important aspect of candid prayer. And so is the next observation, this matter of requesting help. So we see here this matter of beginning with a question sometimes, certainly acknowledging the Lord properly, but also this matter of requesting help. As David prayed, he acknowledged his helplessness. He felt as though God was far away and that his enemy was getting closer to hurting him. You see that in verses 3 through 4. Notice how David said, consider me and hear me. He was saying, pay attention to me, God, which may not sound like a theologically correct thing to say, but it says less about what David thought about God and more about David's need for God. The issue here is not whether God was paying attention, because he is always paying attention. It is whether or not David wanted God to pay attention. So God may often allow a trial to increase in your life to persuade you to want his involvement. Too often we don't feel that we need the involvement of God in life. So wanting God to pay attention is a good sign. Now what does it mean when David asks God to enlighten his eyes? You see that here in this chapter. The literal meaning of this phrase is something like, give light to my eyes, and it means to restore your strength and your vigor. You see that in other places in Scripture, and I mentioned them and list them out at shepherdthoughts.com online in the written form of this podcast. You can check it out. Bright eyes were considered a sign of good health. So why did David pray this way? Well, the duress of his ongoing trial had weakened his strength and vigor, and trials do that, don't they? That's what they do sometimes. They cause you to wear down physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. They can drain you for sure. That is why you, like David, need to ask God to bring the glimmer back to your eyes, as it were. Do you need to pray that way today or ever, requesting God's help like this in whatever words say it best for you? That is an important part of candid prayer. As you are requesting help, you also need to consider this matter of remembering God's merciful, loving kindness. As David prayed here, he reflected back over his previous trust in the Lord. Despite the intense suffering that marked his present experience, he chose to remember the confidence he had placed in God before all these difficult events had transpired in his life. God had chosen him to be king over Israel. He delivered him, of course, from a lion and a bear, and who doesn't know about Goliath? Clearly, God had delivered him in that climactic moment after he had trusted in him, and he prevailed. So as David prayed, he allowed these past experiences of trusting God to strengthen his resolve to keep on trusting God. This approach is an important part of candid prayer, and it is a more reliable reference point than what you are seeming to experience in the present. Reflect back over moments in your past when you trusted in God and experienced his teaching and deliverance. Can you recall any? Can you name them? If so, then let me persuade you to keep on trusting God in the trial that you are presently facing. This was one thing that David could cling to, even when he saw everything else around him appearing to fall. And everything he felt was going in the wrong direction. David calls this past goodness of God mercy. That's the word that's used. But what does that word mercy mean? Well, It's not necessarily what you're thinking of in the English sense. It's not an easy word to translate, in fact. My Hebrew professor described it something like this, as being the faithful, steadfast, merciful, loving kindness of God. It's a word with many aspects to it. It is more than mercy, though mercy is certainly involved, and we are undeserving of this. It is more than faithfulness, more than love, more than kindness and grace. It is somehow all of these things all together at once. And it describes the steadfast love and affection that God shows to the people with whom he has a covenant relationship in the Old Testament. This was the nation of Israel, of course. Today, though, it is anyone who has placed his or her trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Consider the journey of the Israelites out of Egypt. They were in Egypt for as many as 430 years, away from the land that God had promised. That's a long time. They were enslaved there for multiple generations. Was God faithful and merciful to them all those years? Yes, even if he didn't seem like it at the time. Eventually, God, though, called Moses to take action. God sent then 10 massive plagues to judge Egypt, the major superpower of the world at that time. He delivered them from Egypt, then split the Red Sea for them to walk through, then drowned the Egyptian army. Was God faithful to his people? Yes. But days later, only days later, the Israelites found themselves in the wilderness with no water. Did they resort to prayer, the kind of candid prayer that asks how long? No, they complained instead. But David did not do this. Instead, he remembered the past. God had protected him from a lion and a bear and a giant. God had anointed him to be the next king of Israel. None of that seemed very real at the present, but he held on to that anyway. And he knew that, just as God delivered Israel, he would deliver him too at the right time. Friend, being honest with God in prayer is very different than complaining. Feeling alone, discouraged, and afraid is one thing, but believing that those feelings are the way things really are, that God is not faithful, loving, merciful, and kind, that he is not faithful to his covenant commitment to you through Jesus Christ, now that is wrong. So what about you? Are you wrapped up in the present ongoing struggle of your faith in difficult circumstances or prolonged prayer requests? Remember the faithful, merciful, loving kindness of God to you. Remember what he has done in the past and begin to get yourself ready for what he is going to do in the future. Begin visualizing the future. You can do this when you're praying candidly with God. You see, as David concluded his prayer, he not only looked to the past to find the faithfulness of God, but he also looks to the future. He envisioned how he would respond to the final, eventual deliverance that God would provide. By doing this, he expressed his confidence that God would indeed bring his trial to a proper resolution, no matter how long it would go on. In Psalm 13:5, he projects that he will rejoice, which means that he would sing, shout, or perhaps even shriek with excitement after God's future deliverance. He also anticipated in verse 6 what he would say when he rejoiced. He would say, "The Lord has dealt bountifully with me." This means that David was confident that he would be able to say at some future point that God had truly taken complete, perfect care of him all throughout the trial. Looking back, he would have no doubt about how God had guided and cared for him, even though it had appeared to be bleak and scary along the way for a very long time. Is this your outlook? As you pray through your trials, are you candidly telling God how you feel, asking your questions, acknowledging his lordship, and looking back to his faithful, merciful, loving kindness to you along the way? And how will you respond when he delivers you? Can you envision the excitement? Can you foreshadow what you will say? This is another special element of candid prayer.
This has been another edition of the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast.
For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you to devote your heart and mind to biblical thinking for biblical living. Thank you for listening.